This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Have that dumb button ready, because I honestly have no idea what's going to come out of my mouth.
Get ready for takeoff.
There's no way that I'm tapping out now.
You're listening to Unkillable.
If you didn't kill us last night, we are unkillable.
Hosted by Brandon Tierney.
What's happening, everybody? Episode number 32, Unkillable, Jets, Giants. Not so much a recap. I couldn't jump on after the game. I had a family vacation on the quick little vacation on the books for a little bit. So I was down in LBI, and by the time we got back Saturday, I really watched. I was following the game on my phone, obviously, but I watched the game Saturday night, and then I watched it a little bit more thoroughly again on Sunday. So this one is just about Justin Fields. I want to try to quell some fears about what the Jets offense from a passing perspective looks like so far. Now, I do think that when you look at how the Jets are going to play this year, it's very obvious. I've said this from day one. They're going to look to run the ball 30, 32, 33, 35, 40 times a game if they can, if they have a big lead. So as long as you understand that, and they're not going to deviate from that. Number one, they don't have the personnel to do it in terms of a receiver opposite Garrett Wilson. But also, I think we all understand at this point, 4 years in, what Justin Fields has been and who he is at this point in his career. And probably more specifically, the quarterback that he's never going to be. Justin Fields is never going to be the guy that comes out. And I'm not saying there can't be an outlier where he has one of these games. And any professional quarterback, especially a top 10 pick, is capable of that. Zach Wilson had good games, so that tells you all you need to do. So did Sam Darnold early with the Jets. But the point is, the Jets are not going to ask him, and if they do, they're absolutely lost. This is not going to happen. They're not going to ask him to come out and throw it, you know, 32, 33, or 32 or 33 times like they will in terms of running the ball. They will look to ground it and pound it and bang it and slam it into the line of scrimmage and use the three running backs that they have, all of whom are very good and a little different in skill set as well, to set up what I think are going to be gas plays. So there's no disillusionment here. You know, Justin Fields, again, unless it's an outlier, he just lacks the precision. He's not coming out 27 for 33, you know, 22 for 25, 29 for 31. It's not going to happen. Not who he is. So as long as we know that, and we should know that by now, because there's 4 years of tape evidence to tell us that he's not that guy. And he really wasn't even that guy at Ohio State. So we know who he is not. But let me tell you what he has developed into that I don't think is getting enough play. Number one, And yes, if you're Chicago, who drafted him inside the top 10, you certainly wish that the growth was more palpable. But if you look at his completion percentage for an awful team as well, spotty O-line, just bad coaching, 58.9% year one, horrendous. That's like 1990s numbers. That is bad. And anything that is really at this point below 65-ish is somebody who probably lacks some accuracy, all right? So year one, 58.9. Year two, 60.4. So, all right, little teeny tiny, barely perceptible growth. And then it goes up to 61.4. 58.9, 60.4, 61.4, which is why the Bears moved on. Not good enough, okay? But if you look at what he did in a small sample with the Steelers last year, a much better franchise who insulated him better, even though they took the ball away from him and gave it to Russell Wilson, they just had better scheming, better, you know, better horses up front. It went to 65.8, which is a sizable jump. You go from 58.9 as a rookie to 66, rounding up that 65.8. Again, no one's saying you're Joe Montana or even Chad Pennington in terms of accuracy or peak vintage Aaron Rodgers, but you're not the liability that some people think that you are. So That is statistically irrefutable. We can sit here all day and say, well, he's not a good passer. Well, he's not this. I get it. But the numbers are the numbers. And we talk about the numbers in baseball. Well, I believe that they're applicable in anything, not where you're married to them to the point of having it maybe blur sensibility. But I do think it provides some context that there has been some incremental growth year by year by year by year with Justin Fields, number one. So while that's grown, what's gone down, and this is really important to me, is the interception percentage. I mean, it was a ghastly 3.7 year one. That's just atrocious. Again, that's like Zach Wilson territory. You're swimming, you're lost, right? It goes from 3.7 to 3.5 to 2.4 to 0.6, so less than one a year ago. So again, I know I hit you with a lot of numbers, and I generally try not to do that too much with a pod, but I think it's relevant here, and then I'll get to the bigger picture with Fields specific to this year for the Jets. So the completion percentage undeniably has gone up. The interception percentage undeniably has gone down. All right, so now I look at some other stuff, and not so much wins and losses, even though quarterbacks are ultimately judged on how much did you win or did you lose. I get that. But, you know, from a touchdown to interception ratio, he's plus 14 for his career, and that includes after a horrendous year one with Chicago. Now, again, you got to understand how I think the Jets are going to score this year, and everything's going to be set up by the run. Now, in those, you know, one or two games where everything's goes wrong, a wet field, a punt return by the other team for a touchdown, a kickoff return, a fumble that's picked up, whether it's by Fields or somebody else, a running back, and, you know, bang, 33 yards to the house, Jets are losing 7-0, you know, and then maybe the Jets have a quick three and out, and then the other team scores again. Well, that changes everything. And nobody is under the impression that if that kind of a game develops for the Jets, and again, invariably it's going to happen because it happens to every even good team, let alone a team trying to get a new identity like the Jets are with Aaron Glenn here and Fields in the run game. But when that happens, all bets are off. Defenses pin the ears back, which is why it's so important for the Jets to get some leads to allow their defense to finally flex and do some stuff and go after the quarterback. Now, how is Justin Fields going to move the ball? Well, he's going to move it with his legs. That goes without saying. The running back trio is going to obviously help him make it. Make plays here and advance the football and hopefully get the Jets into the end zone enough where their defense and their running attack can then bleed the clock and they can win some games here. But I think, like, when I close my eyes and I think about, all right, well, how are the Jets going to score this year? It's not going to – we know this already because they've got one receiver. And that's a problem, not where I want them to go out and make a training camp trade and or midseason get like Devontae Adams for Rodgers. That's not the way to go. But I do believe the way it's set up right now, it's fairly untenable because they're one vertical, conventionally speaking, weapon. You're going to double team. You're going to have maybe not double team him, but always have somebody shadowing him, Garrett, as the second defender. And that's going to make his life very tough. So he just doesn't possess the ability to thread the needle all the different route trees. You know, it's that that's not his game. Where I think the Jets are going to score, and I think there's going to be some, I think there's going to be more, this is going to sound crazy. I think there'll be more long touchdowns. What do you keep using the word gash? More offensive gash plays this year for the Jets than they had with Aaron Rodgers. I really believe that. Now, Rodgers, from the middle part of the season to the end, he started to look like Aaron Rodgers, you know, a little flick of the wrist. I mean, just threading the needle, throwing dimes, back shoulders, not happening with Justin Fields. But when the Jets begin to assert themselves, and they will do this, I believe, from week one, starting with the Steelers. I don't know if it results in a win right away, but they're going to run the ball even when the opposition knows they're going to run. And that's the mark of a very good offensive line. Hey, you know what we're about to do. Try to stop it. We don't think that you can. And once we start, you know, instead of 1 or 2 yards on first and 10, now you start cranking out 4, 5, and 6. Now the playbook opens. And then obviously you're going to have some, whether it's a misdirection or, you know, a fullback wheel route where just things that don't seem very plausible now, I believe will develop, ironically, as the defenses play their ones and as they actually scheme to stop the Jets, because that is that, like, you can't, you can plan for speed, but reacting to speed and reacting to getting pushed back snap after snap after snap is going to rob opposing defenses of, I mean, if all goes well, of their soul. And what they want to do to stop the Jets coming in, I don't think they're going to be that successful at early on. And once that happens, now they're going to sell out even more because they can't conventionally stop the run. And that's where you get, whether it's Beck the fullback or Mason Taylor, and obviously Garrett's going to make plays, but wow, how was Mason Taylor wide open for that 39-yard touchdown? Well, I'll tell you, because they ran the ball 65, 70, 72% of the time. And, you know, the one time the defense misses an assignment and is a little confused, Justin Fields is absolutely capable of putting the ball in not through the keyhole, which, again, is not going to happen with any frequency, but at a radius that is almost more like college. And, you know, it's funny. I remember talking about this with Tiki when I used to work with Tiki Barber for years, well, over a decade. And, you know, it, but he was not always right on this because nobody's always right, but his instincts were almost always right. When we were evaluating, because we did a lot of college stuff on the old national broadcast, which we don't really do on WFAN. And, you know, I would, to an extent, you know, you look at stats. Oh my God, this guy's got 37 touchdown passes. He's got 3 picks. He's thrown for 4,200 yards. And he's got a completion percentage of 73%. Well, the reason you can do that at Ohio State and at some of these big time schools is because you're not throwing to the keyhole. You're throwing to a wider space, a radius. And that's why even Tim Tebow at Florida was able to throw a lot of touchdown passes because, again, we got to stop Tebow on the run. We got to stop the run. And it was never pretty, but it was effective. And the other thing you have to consider, and again, I'm not saying that there's no concerns with this Jets offense. I really do wish they had at least a more reliable number two, as I said before, opposite Garrett Wilson. But the Jets are not going to come out, whether it was the Packers game or the Giants game or this next game, and I'm not even sure if the starters will play. What the Jets were not going to do, nor should they, is come out and have Justin Fields run wild and have him get hit unnecessarily 3, 4, 5 times a game by a linebacker in open space, with a linebacker or a safety is, you know, at, with a head of steam and looking to take your quarterback out. Now, you don't do that in the preseason. It's very benign. It's very vanilla. What you do from a defensive perspective and what you do from an offensive perspective is as basic as it gets because, number one, you don't want to divulge too much. You don't want it on film so that when you start the season, you kind of catch some teams by surprise. I've got no doubt that we're going to be firing up this podcast after Jet games and – he might only have, I don't know, 13, 14, I'm just throwing numbers out, 13, 14, 15 completions, but it and there's going to be weeks where he nickels and dimes, where he gets, you know, 5 yards here, 7 yards here. There's nothing, there's no gash play that develops, but I think more times than not, he's going to have that 40-yard pass, and it might not be a thing of beauty, but you might have again, fullback or a running back. And we saw that with Braylon Allen last year, that I guess that would have been week two down in Tennessee. He caught a beautiful wheel route from Rodgers. Now, that was also an incredibly high-level Hall of Fame throw, which you're almost never going to get from Justin Fields. But I guess I'm just trying to, number one, provide a little context to what you've seen so far from the Jets offense. Number two, what I think it can morph into. And I come to these conclusions understanding what the Jets are looking to do these last couple of weeks, including the Packers game. And that is culture, and that is identity. Now, listen, there's many different limbs or branches, if you will, to this Jets tree. And the tree is not big. It's barely visible. The way you build the culture is you got to plant the seeds. And you got to plant the seeds, then you got to water it, then you get a little incremental growth and a little growth and a little sprout here and a little sprout there. And like the different branches represent opportunity, but also pitfalls. One is the penalties. One is obviously health. One is the ability of the offensive line to do what I know they're going to try to do, but also do what I think they're going to be able to do, and that is run the ball. And I can't impress upon you enough. I really would not be incredibly fearful of what I think many of you are perceiving, this inability to move the football. You can move the football in a myriad ways here, guys. You know, not everybody is Mahomes. And even the Kansas City offense has morphed into something different from what it was when he first burst on the scene. And he was throwing it 40 times. His numbers aren't quite as spectacular as they once were. So I think eventually, and you have to understand that the Justin Fields experiment, and that's what this is. This isn't a top draft pick. The Bears did that for the Jets. This is a dynamic athlete who is committed, who is smart, who is explosive, and who is tough, and is great. He might be the best running ball, Lamar. He's the second best running quarterback in the NFL. And, you know, unlike Lamar, who is just faster A to B, you know, Fields possesses a little more oomph as he gets into that second level where, you know, Jackson has to run by you. Fields can run through you a little bit more. So I just think that when the Jets get to Pittsburgh, you know, maybe you try to catch him by surprise early, or Pittsburgh's coming here, but Pittsburgh game week one, you know, maybe you deviate out of trickery or deception and, you know, knowing what I think everybody in the football community knows and anticipates from the Jets, and that's going to be a high volume of runs. You know, maybe you try a go route or just something a little wacky out of the chute to soften up the box and not have them, you know, have that extra defender creep in. But I also believe that the Jets have the capability to still run the ball with the extra man in the box. And, you know, I look at running the ball, and that's what every old lineman wants to do. Nobody wants to drop back, especially the big boys, like left tackle and a right tackle. They don't want to drop back and move their feet and, you know, hand-to-hand combat and be all cute and pretty. They want to line up, and they want to go right past you. They want to go right in your chest, and they're doing that. So I'm excited. I think you guys know that. I'm also inherently aware of who Justin Fields is at this point. And I don't think many of you do, because I don't think enough of you are divorcing yourself from the narrative and the reality, really, of what Justin Fields was as an early pro. Again, guys, I mean, this is a ghastly number. 58.9% completion as a rookie. Terrible. 60.4. Terrible. 61.4. Pretty bad in modern football. 65.8, which is 66%, with his running ability in a small sample with the Steelers. There's some evidence there where I'm like, okay. His success rate as a passer will be predicated on the Jets' ability to run. And if there's two things I've got confidence in with the Jets this year, it's number one, running, and number two, for the most part, neutralizing opposing defenses, provided they clean up these dopey penalties, which is not going to happen overnight. I know it's, you know, mission number one for Aaron Glenn. It doesn't happen in 1 week. It doesn't happen in 1 month. It happens over time. It really does. When you get your guys in the building and you slowly weed out those who were here, who don't fit the program, who don't have the intelligence, who don't have the discipline. So I'm feeling pretty good about this. And I'm like, you know, I think that to think that Justin Fields can't throw to larger windows, I mean, it's borderline disrespectful at this point. That's an NFL quarterback. And there are tiers, just like there's tiers with the Hall of Fame.
All right.
Aaron Rodgers, first ballot. Is Eli? Probably, you know, because of the two Super Bowls. But can you really put, if you're going to be honest with this, vintage Aaron Rodgers with vintage Eli or vintage Tom? I know Eli beat Tom, so it's not the best example, but, you know, vintage Eli with vintage Tom Brady or vintage, I'm not trying to pick on Eli. I love him, and he's a champion, and he's a Hall of Famer. But vintage Eli with Dan Marino or Joe Montana or Mahomes or even Burrow throwing the ball or Josh Allen, the answer is no. So as long as you understand that and you know what the Jets are going to prioritize, I think you'll feel better about this. Now, listen, we might get to a situation, and then that will be a very different tone for the Unkillable podcast. I can promise you that. But if the Jets can't run the ball, and I'm just assuming that they will, because they're not going to deviate from it, and they finally have enough horses up front to do it. They're going to do it. And if they don't, now some weeks will be more frequent than others, whatever, based on matchups. But if they don't do it, well, then the Jets will be a 4 or 5 win team, because Fields is not leading you back from, you know, 21-3 deficits or, you know, 30-10 halftime deficits. So this is all interrelated. And the success of the Jets is going to hinge largely on the defense doing its job, field position, and then obviously the ability to run, and then gash. And one other thing too. Now, this is a problem here. So I don't know how it's going to go divvying up the carries. I know what Breece Hall was before he ripped up his knee, and I know how explosive he was, and I'm not looking to get rid of the guy, but I just don't see enough vision from Breece Hall. I don't see a lot of vision, whereas with Braylon Allen, I see a much more identifiable ability to process, even if it's a small hole, a little seam, and not dance and just cut through it. And that's the difference if you're dancing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Donor advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax smart way to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This damn, I'll tell you, this ring, I can't, this delight, this, it's going to be the end of me here. This happens to me on the air all the time with Sal. I forget to mute the phone. Not that it's going to ring, because that I put off, but when the ring goes off and they come to cut the grass or somebody comes for a prime package, that ring, it drives me incessantly, drives me nuts. And, oh yeah, by the way, I would say, speaking of ratio, run the pass for the Jets, I would say in the Tierney household, the ratio of packages delivered would be 97% mommy, and I'd say about 3% daddy. And the 3% for daddy is it's all sports stuff. Like, I got a package yesterday because I'm playing golf with Francesa, me, Sal, and JJ on Thursday. And I had to get a new golf glove. I wanted to get some new balls, whatever. I don't order anything. Every time I come home, there's packages, never mind packages, but there's always packages. Anyway, it is not an equitable split, much like I don't think it will be an equitable split of run and pass this year. Relax, guys, relax. Justin Fields is a Band-Aid. Justin Fields provides the Jets, in theory, until it actually happens, though I think it will, the ability to start to accelerate the cultural shift, all right, while they're still looking for their franchise quarterback. He's not it. I mean, I'm not saying that you can't get to a wild card with Justin Fields either this year or eventually. I'm not saying that because, you know, did you think that Jared Goff was going to do what he's doing in Detroit when the Rams sent him packing? Now, he's much more of a pure passer, but there's a lot of examples around the NFL where, like, the circumstances of the league, how healthy are you? How healthy is the opposition when you play them? I'll give you the Giants for an example, right? And Mike and Chris used to do this all the time. All right, dog, loss, loss, win, loss. You don't really know. Not that it's not fun to do it, but if we were to sit here, and I've done this on the radio with Sal, like if you look at, even though I think the Giants will be probably more competitive than most people do this year, I think that it's very easy to look at the Giants schedule and just be overwhelmed by the harshness of it. Like, it looks on paper brutal, absolutely brutal. Whereas if you're weighing the Giants on what they've been rather than what you think they could be with that defense, it is very hard with any sort of confidence to say, yeah, I see 5 or 6 wins, which is why I believe the over-under for both the Jets and the Giants is 5.5. But we all know when you play somebody, are they coming off a short week? What was their travel? Who's banged up? Who's not? And the other thing too, guys, like, And this is not about Fields. This is more about the Jets in totality. Like, all right, so the Jets, there was a breakdown of the secondary. Good throw by Russell Wilson. All right, good for Russell Wilson. Good for the Giants, right? But do you really think that kind of breakdown of that, like, that was embarrassingly bad? And I'm not saying it's not going to happen at all, but do you think that that's going to be the norm here? Sauce didn't play. Jermaine Johnson didn't play. Q didn't play. Like, you got to understand what the preseason's all about. Number one, you want to get to the preseason with a roster that you think is decent. And this goes back to our assessments of the Jets a year ago. Yes, hijacked by the notion of maybe what Aaron Rodgers could do to elevate them. But like, the Jets roster, and this is not exactly breaking news, is pretty damn talented. They've got a lot of good defensive players, and they've got a lot of good offensive linemen. And, you know, we'll see how it shakes up. And then those variables, the injuries, the penalties, Aaron Glenn's transition as the first-year coach. I wouldn't go nuts one way or the other. And I'll tell you this, just to prove that I'm not going to go nuts one way or the other. Like, even if Justin Fields plays this week and goes out and is 7 for 8 and incredibly efficient, I don't think that that's emblematic of the quarterback that he's going to be. There's going to be games where, because we saw it against the Giants, where he just misses throws that elite quarterbacks must, that they make in their sleep. It's just boom, 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 back foot, throw it, safety, linebacker, hands, whatever, on a dime, right through the keyhole. That's never going to be him. But there's other guys around the league who just also don't bring the possibilities of a Justin Fields from a running perspective. So I think he's going to run wild. I really do. And I think it's going to be equivalent to a boxing match where they're going to look to muck it up. And once they, and I'll say if, because you know you still have to see it come to fruition, but my belief is that they will do it. So once they do it, now, you know, you don't have to come out like Mike Tyson in 1985 and throw some vicious hook and knock somebody out in 39 seconds. Football really is, it's a 60-minute boxing match. And the way, even if it's not a knockout, even if you win by TKO, the way you win is to deliver, you know, a little body shot here. Not that I'm a boxer. I don't even know why I'm doing that. But just a little stick jab. Boom, 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 boom. Dance, dance, dance. And if you do that enough and you pop, you pop, you pop, then when you go for the big one, even if it's not Mahomes big or pretty big, you can still rip off those 50, 60, 70-yard touchdown passes because the front's beat up. They're selling out to stop the run. And that's how the Jets are going to have to win. And I think there's a chance that they could. I think there's a good chance that they could do it. And, I, you know, listen, I could also be completely wrong. I could be completely wrong. And I'm overstating what I think the O-line is going to be. And the Jets are trailing often. And early on, Aaron Glenn and all the other new coordinators and play callers are overmatched. And it looks bad. And, you know, before you know it, it's like 20-3. And it's halftime against the Steelers, and we're sitting here saying, oh, my God, now we have to throw the ball, and now we're absolutely cooked. And at that point, they would be cooked. But that's not the recipe, and that's not what they're going to do this season. So I'm excited, and there's some trepidation with that excitement. Why? Because it's the Jets. I mean, why do you think? It's the Jets. You know, it's funny, too. I don't subscribe to this. And if you're new to the pod, as you see that right there, we're unkillable, right? That's the ridiculous rant that I did when Rodgers went down. Most of you guys know that by now. But the reason it's called unkillable, aside from me yelling like, again, an unhinged, deranged lunatic, not accepting the reality of Rodgers' Achilles snapping, you know, a couple of plays in without completing a pass, I just couldn't accept it that day. I don't, and I never will, accept, feed into, or buy or have the mindset that you are terminally afflicted by your past. If that's the case, why does anybody go to therapy? Why does anybody ever try to change anything? And I can't buy it, man. And I will not. And I refuse to be the with many of whom I love. I mean, guys in my business. That constant sea of negativity. Now, if you were here a year ago and you watched me after these games, I mean, I go bonkers after the games. Those are some of my most, I hesitate to say enjoyable because I prefer to win. But like, if you get your face kicked in, it's therapeutic. All right, let's go. 30 minutes, ages, especially when it was like Saleh and like Douglas and situations I knew how to change. There'll be a different energy this year. Unless I'm forced to kind of go back to this reactionary nutball that I can sometimes be. But while I'm not married to this terminal life of losing for the Jets, same thing when we talk about the Yankees and the Mets. Like the Mets and the Jets have a very similar existence, as we know. Now I happen to be a Jet Yankee fan, so maybe that enables me to maybe view the Jets a little more optimistically because the Yankees have given me so much these last 30 years, whatever it's been. However, one thing I don't do with the Yankees, I'm also not of the mindset to say, like, pertaining to this year, oh, they're going to win the division because, you know, Toronto's not going to win because they're Toronto. And the Yankees will find a way to win because they're the Yankees. I don't know that. I don't believe that. And I don't buy into that because Max Fried's been a mess his last 8-9 starts, and Stanton's banged up again, and Judge has to hit in October, and all the other things, and the bullpen's got to resolve itself, and Volpe's got to hit, blah, all the things I talk about from a Yankee baseball perspective. The easiest thing in the world would be like, you know, listen, they're the New York Yankees. They got 27 chips. They'll figure it out. They're the Blue Jays. Psst, please. The last time the Blue Jays won anything with Joe Carter, that's not how I operate. So I think if anything, this is probably more for the new people on the pod. If anything, this podcast is about, it's always going to be about keeping it real. That is a non-negotiable starting point characteristic for anything that I do in terms of content. It's always going to be real and it's always going to be raw, but it's not going to be of the predisposed negative mindset. Now, if it was the San Francisco Jets or the Pittsburgh Jets, I don't mean Dallas of recent iterations, like back in the day, the Dallas Jets or the Green Bay Jets or even the Buffalo Jets of recent years, well, I'd probably easier to maybe buy what I'm selling. But I don't think I'm really selling anything that's wildly outlandish, which is why I'm optimistic about the season. And there's been years where I've tricked myself and, wow, this guy does this and that guy does this and this tight end steps up and this receiver takes a step. I'm not even talking about Rodgers, Zach, Darnold, everything before. If this guy does this and if this coach can take the next step, and if there's too many contingencies, right, with too many Jet seasons. And when there's too many contingencies, generally you're going to trip up at some point. I don't think that it's out of bounds or off the mark to say that the Jets are going to have a top 10 offensive line. And by the way, I think that can grow into a top 7. I'm not going to go nuts, say top 5. That's a little much. But I think it's, if anything, I think it will be closer to 7 going in the more positive direction than like 13, 14, 15, and me overrating injuries aside, because that changes everything, what the Jets O-line can do and what they can be. So again, this all started with my Justin Fields analysis to quell the fears. And I think some of the outlandish characterizations of his game, you've got to understand the kid that was drafted out of Ohio State that went to a franchise that in a lot of ways is even more trash than this one. I mean, what did you expect for him and from him out of the box with Chicago? Constant, you know, like the Jets, new GMs, new coaches, offensive line porous, no weapons, losing history, fatalistic approach. Put that aside. If I ask you, objectively speaking, do you think that the Jets will have a good offensive line? The answer, barring injuries, of course, is undeniably yes. And that's where I start. Undeniably yes. If you have a good offensive line, and if you have a really good offensive line and you just have competent, I don't need elite, just competent play calling, there is no reason why Justin Fields cannot put up some good numbers. That's where I'm at. It's not even about some amazing renaissance, like, oh, the Jets are going to rescue Justin Fields and turn him from trash into Namath, the jersey behind me. No, I know what he does. I know what he can't do. That's why I'm not going to waste your time telling you that I think that he's a pure passer or that he's going to have the precision. He's not. I'm telling you now, preemptively, there's going to be games probably every week where we're like, how do you miss that throw? He was wide open. How do you miss him by that much? Yeah, that'll happen once, twice, maybe even three times a game. But the good, and not just from Justin, but really the five men in front of him and the three men behind him, the trio of running backs, it's going to, I believe, mask his deficiencies, amplify his strengths, and put him in a position where the game's slowing down. That was got a new system, of course, so there's always a transition with that. New playbook, I get a new team, new stadium, whatever. I can get all that as well. But I don't think that Justin Fields is quite the reclamation project that many of you do. And I think if you believe that, I'm not going to tell you not to. I'm just telling you what I think. I think that that's the wrong approach at this point, because I think it offsets some of the growth that has been pretty, I won't say pretty easy to identify. I don't want to overstep it and go nuts here, but at least identifiable from rookie year to last year. The hope is you take a little teeny tiny step forward off of that. You don't throw too much, you don't fall behind too much, and you're in every game. And if there's one thing that we know, And the Jets very rarely, I mean, they never have anybody like this. One thing we know, and it's all predicated on health and all those other variables, which I've said a million times. One thing that we know about the football season, as it gets deeper and as the injuries mount for the other teams, okay, and as the weather drops and as guys are a little beat up, they're just not as quick, as fast, and more importantly, as willing to lower the pads and hit. They're just not. Ask anybody who played the game. That's why you don't hit that much during the season, because you really can't. So I think this is more like, I made the analogy of a boxing match, which I firmly believe, but I think it's kind of more like a marathon. I think most of these Jets games, aside from, again, the game or two that gets away early and it's a shit show and it's gross. Aside from those games, the season's a marathon, but I think each game's going to be kind of a marathon where little chip, little chip, little chip, little chip, 4, 6 yards, 2 yards, 7 yards, 3 yards, move the sticks, bang, touchdown. That's the hope. And that's my read at this point. That was my read when they got Justin Fields. That was my read when they drafted another first-round lineman out of Missouri. So they've got now, what, 3 first-round picks and a second-rounder in Tippmann up front? I mean, if it's not now, it's never. So I will say this. Like, if the Jets' offensive line is not as good as I think everybody, again, in the football community thinks it's going to be, well, then this is just a colossal waste of time, what I just talked about. We can take this, we can delete this, we can laugh at this, you can mock me, that's fine. Because it will be nonsensical if the O-line is not up to snuff. I believe they will be. And when you see that, I think the other components that I do believe Justin Fields is capable enough doing, I think they'll yield good results. And I think we'll have a competitive season. And I think there's going to be some wins. So that's the scoop on that. Ev, let me get my guy Evan in here. Ev, what's happening, buddy? How you feeling today? What's up, dude?
Hey, pretty good.
Hey, sound like a comedian or a DJ on the radio. Hey, what's
going on? There you go.
Now, listen, you're hearing this. Obviously, I know what I'm saying. You're hearing this. Separate yourself from Unkillable Pod. I love that he's rocking the Jets hat today. Separate yourself from a moment, the Jets fandom. You're younger, so we've talked about that. So you've been, you know, less burdened by the I've got 15 extra years of losing, so that can do a lot to the psyche. Do you think what I just said, pragmatically speaking, using the mind, the Jets online and everything that I just said, does that not make colossal sense?
No, yeah, it makes a ton of sense. Because at the end of the day, I think the biggest point that really stuck in my head from what you were saying is it's like you don't need Justin Fields to be Aaron Rodgers. You don't need Justin Fields to be this guy that's throwing the ball a crazy amount of time. You need the Breece Hall, the Braylon Allen, the whoever else at running back connection, and you need the O-line to be really good, and obviously the defensive line and those guys to be really good, because those are the ones that are really going to build this team. Like, if you're coming into it thinking, like, you're watching the TikTok edits and you're like, oh, Justin Fields is going to come in and become the next coming of, you know, maybe Baker Mayfield when he went to the Bucs or one of these top guys. It's like, it's not going to happen.
He's not that guy. I think that Justin Fields certainly it's my hope, but it's also rooted in belief here. I wouldn't say overwhelming, like non-wavering belief. I mean, I don't want to go nuts here. He's got a lot to prove. I think we all know that. But I think that, I'll use the word beauty for lack of a better word. I think the beauty or even the effectiveness of Justin this year is going to be, that's why I use the term marathon or the boxing analogy, where it's not one shot. It's not a quick sprint. It's when you get a chance to run, which they haven't done enough over the years, you know, 50 plays, 49 plays, 51 plays, the time of possession now flips instead of, you know, 35 for the 40 for the opposition. You know, you know the script. It's 40-20 Bills. It's, you know, 41-19 whomever, the good team. I just don't think that that's going to happen this year, because when you run, what does our boy Berman say? Tick, 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 tick. And I think I'm excited. I'm actually excited. I get it. He's also a Band-Aid, but there's other Band-Aids around the NFL over the years who are proven to at least be a good Band-Aid and a successful Band-Aid. And it gives you the ability to move forward with the culture, reinforced by some wins, while you're looking for the next guy who could eventually get you to the top of the mountain, which is not going to be Justin Fields. I'm well aware of that, but you know what I'm saying.
No, exactly. I mean, I know it's kind of a weird thing, but it's kind of like Joe Flacco a couple years ago for the Browns. Like, they knew, and obviously it hasn't ended well, and they still haven't found their future guy there. Yeah. But in terms of, like, he comes in, people really aren't expecting much from him. He's kind of like, oh, he's a has-been. You know, he beat our ass for a million years with the Ravens. Yeah. But with Justin Fields, it's like, as long as you come in here and you're competent and you're not just completely a piece of crap, I don't know how else to put it, mm-hmm. we're gonna be all right, because we got a very dynamic running back duo. Braylon Allen might actually end up being the better one out of the two.
I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah,
he's phenomenal.
Yeah, he's incredible,
different, man.
Yeah. So between those two, depending on who gets more, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day, because they're both pretty solid. But Braylon Allen just feels like a game changer. But it's like, you got those two guys. And then if you need to throw it, you got Garrett Wilson. We get it. We've talked about it a million times, probably, that the wide receiver two position's a little wonky. And you're like, I really have no idea what's going on there. Mm-hmm. But you got Mason Taylor if he can live up to the hype. You got Garrett Wilson when you need to throw it. But the key is the offensive line blocking for those two running backs is really going to be the game changer on offense.
Yeah, so we're on the same page. The other thing, too, I'm going to leave you guys with this here, and it's nice. Like,
this episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
But again, Rodgers is such a different monster on every conceivable level. Like, he hijacked our hopes, and some people don't like him. I have no problem with Rodgers, but I get it. Some do. But, like, when you get Aaron Rodgers and you had the defense, which they had, at least in theory, you're like, okay, so now Rodgers is going to just do this and do that and do this. And it just didn't work out, as we know. But the one thing that you don't have with somebody like Justin Fields, which we had with Zach, which we had with Sam Darnold, though Darnold's obviously had a nice renaissance as well, is that baggage and that constant stream of, is he good enough? Can he do this? Did we waste a pick? You know, Darnold third overall, Zach second overall. Like that, I'm not saying that it even leads directly to losses, but I just feel like there's the energy around the quarterback position this year is a much more enviable one because we didn't draft him. So yeah. We didn't sink millions upon millions and premium draft equity into him. Somebody else did, and they fucked up. They're not us. They did, right? Now you get a guy. Usually we're the ones who's doing that, but the Bears did it for us this time. So when you get a guy who is now 4 years under his belt, and I know that they took the football away from him and he could have played more for the Steelers, whatever. But at least I think that he's past that really vulnerable state of being in the same place and the first throw that hits the turf, the boos cascading down from MetLife. Like, you know, Zach overthrows somebody, Zach holds onto the ball too long, Darnold does the same. Everything that we talk about on the radio, on social media, all the years of energy that we invested in the two quarterbacks and others over the years, it becomes louder because we're angry because deep down we know we drafted the wrong guy. I think that there's a sensibility, at least it's my hope, within the Jet fan base that, all right, hey, paying them $20 million, which in 2025 for a starting quarterback is nothing. It's absolutely peanuts in terms of percentage on the salary cap. And while he might be among the worst throwers in the game, which I think he is, I think that that's fair, he's undeniably one of the best runners in the game. So instead of having a quarterback who's not great at anything, and again, putting Roger because he was hurt, he was getting older, whatever, all the other quarterbacks, none of them were great at anything, and they were bad at a lot. At least we're working with something, a desirable skill set where it's clear he is elite at running the football. And I almost look at that as, I mean, again, I don't know why I always do these analogies. I always do this. I think this will make sense, but it's almost like, okay, you know, if you have a guy throwing 93, which nowadays is nothing, but he locates and he's got a really effective changeup that darts down. Well, if he throws the fastball after the changeup, 93 seems like 97. It's just better. And if the Jets are running the deficiency, and I'll use the equivalence of a below average fastball with Justin here, the ability to run and make teams so terrified of him taking it to the house at any time, it just has to make the offense, the passing offense, at least it's gotta have a modicum of success. And I think when you fuse the two, and that's when now we're the defense and the special teams and the coaching and the penalties, all the things that'll play out over the course of the year, I think Fields is going to be better than a lot of people think. So I'm excited.
Yeah. No, me too. Me too. That's and it's also the one thing that comes to mind because I'm the Met Jet fan here is it kind of reminds me of last year's Mets where it was like 2023. We go all in. We get Verlander. We get Scherzer. We get all these guys. It's like, we're going to be great. We stink. That's what you were saying before with the boos raining down because you're like, this stinks. Boom. Last year, you come in. Nobody's really has any expectations. It's like, oh, it's a reset year, similar to the Jets this year. You're like, hey, man, if we get anything, we'll be happy. You get something, bam, the fans love the Mets last year because of the run. I feel like that could be the same this year. We make that run. So
look at my guy, Evan, bringing a little positivity. Hey, listen, if nothing else, we got to get the positivity in now.
Yeah.
You know, listen, now if there's good things happening, which I think you and I both expect to an extent, well, then we'll unleash the positivity in a way that's going to be stronger than anywhere you're going to get it.
Yeah.
But just in case, we got to make sure we get some in now and pepper some positivity.
There you go.
So, you know, I'm positive. I'm excited for sure. It's here, man. I mean, you know, it's funny. My son started football, he's over there now. They started football practice, and while, you know, it's still pretty warm out, you can tell it's getting darker just a little earlier, you know, Labor Day right around the corner, football season's here. So, you know, I know we want to line everything up in advance and the best laid plans often implode, like Rodgers, like other situations, like Daniel Jones for the Giants. I get it. There's a million variables, and if this is one end of the spectrum and this is the other, at least for the Jets, and the answer is probably with certain things somewhere in between. I don't know what the in-between is now. All I'm saying is Justin Fields is not is not a doormat, that and not a scrub, but they've got to be able to amplify what he does not well, what he does great. And if and when they do, I think it's going to be a much more enjoyable season. And then you just push the culture development along, and that's how eventually you become a very good team. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Come on, Ed. Let's go. I'm getting pumped up, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just like you said before, we gotta get it out now. We gotta get fired up.
Yeah.
If it starts to bring us down, so be it. But in the moment, we're getting ready. We're getting fired up. And it's, you know, we're hoping for a great season here.
There we go. All right. So I'm going to sign off episode 32. I'm going to pop in another one in a few days here. Let me tell you very quickly, if you guys want to come and watch the Jets on the road at some point with me, you could Google it, just nyjetaways.net. I've been doing this now. This will be year three. All right. And it was an experiment with my guy, Mike Martucci, who's run the Giants travel stuff for years, 30 years. Like, he did stuff with Tiki. Like, he's been on, again, 30 years, been doing this, the man. And he reached out to me a couple of years ago. He said, hey, what do you think about maybe starting a Jets travel, whatever, you know, not company, but lack of a better word, company. I'm like, yeah, I'm interested. And we threw a line in the water, and not last year, the year before. So that would have been the 2023 season. Yeah, we went to Green Bay, and it was phenomenal. Then we went to Dallas. I guess that was actually – no, that may have been 2022. Then we went to Dallas the next year. Then we went to Vegas, went to Tennessee last year. And it's number one, it's a way to hang out with me. It's a way to go check out if you want to. If not, then obviously you're not going to do it. But it's a full weekend in a different city – where we have a dinner and, you know, all, like whether it's Marty Lyons or Wesley Walker, one of these great Gravette, you know, Marty Lyons and stuff. As I said, it's a chance to just jump on a plane, spend 2 days, party. I ain't gonna lie to you. We get loose, man. We have a big cocktail hour, big dinner, first rate tailgate. It is absolutely unbelievable. So nyjetaways.net. Not yet sure where we're going this year. Thinking maybe Tampa early on in the season. Thinking maybe New Orleans. Kind of try to tackle a few cities we haven't tackled yet. But if you guys have – by the way, as you guys jump in on the comments, anybody who's been on one of these trips with me, I would love for you guys to share your – and not just where you got to say it was amazing, but if there's things you want to see different, but your overall experience. Because I'll tell you, I have had a blast. And as much as we – have had a rough plight as Jet fans, there is something incredibly energizing walking into a foreign stadium with like 100 Jet fans deep after 2 or 3 hours of tailgate. So nyjetaways.net, check that out. Obviously, Monday through Friday on The Fan from 10 to 2 with my guy Sal. And that's it. I will be popping back up, as I said, probably a couple of days. That'll be episode number 33. Spotify, obviously, wherever you guys get your pod, check it out. And also, if you have buddies that either left New York or New Jersey or Connecticut, they're across the country, let them know about the pod after every single game. To the point where, and I, you know, if you know me, you know how much I love youth sports. But like, even if my son has a football game, I will be on after every single game. This is our place. This is our safe haven. You will see every side of my personality. Hopefully it's a little happier this year. But anyway, if you want to do the travel thing, check it out. And in the meantime, enjoy the rest of your summer. I'll get you in a couple of days. NYJetaways.net. Follow me on Twitter. Spread the word about the pod, Out West buddies, whatever. Let them know what's going on. And we will see you soon. So as you talk about Fields, I don't tell people what to do, but I'm going to give you just a little parting word of advice here or thought. Get some separation on what he was in year one with Chicago and kind of wipe that and delete that from your memory bank because he was awful. Nobody wants to see that version. And I don't think we will. Judge him on, you know, snap to snap, the play call, the ability for the Jets to run the ball. And I think for the first time, and we all long for this, and it's like crazy when your team doesn't have an identity. Like, how could you not have an identity? I think the Jets are going to have a very easy identity to discern this year, and they're going to look to run it up everybody's ass. Plain English, I don't mean to say it that, you know, that crass, but I think that's what the Jets will do. So, all right, I'll catch you on The Fan. Catch you on the next pod. Evan, I appreciate you, buddy, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, you can potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free and give now or over time by donating cash, publicly traded securities, or non-cash assets like real estate and crypto. With over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together, DAF Giving 360 can help you make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.